I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and right now I'm joined by members of the Juno Ghostlight Theater here to talk about the Sherlock Holmes radio play. We've got Kate Ross. Hey, Kate.
Hi.
Salisa Thole. Hi, Salisa.
Hello.
And Kelsey Riker. Hello, Kelsey.
Hello.
Thanks for being a part of this today. I know there were many, many other people involved in this production as well. We just can't fit them all on the Zoom screen. But I'm glad you guys are here. Let's talk a little bit about your roles in this production. Kate, let's start with you. What was your role in this production?
Yeah, so I serve as basically the producer or executive producer, not sound producing, but producing the whole show. I first had the idea to do a radio play with Juno Ghostlight Theater back in the fall. And so it's been kind of a few months of figuring everything out and having meetings with KTOO and working on getting a director and just figuring out all the nuts and bolts. So that's what I've been doing on this production.
Did you have a role in the play itself?
I don't. I am just serving as a producer, but I did also do some of the Foley art. So the sound effects, the fun stuff.
All right. We're going to talk about the Foley art for sure. But Kelsey, moving on to you, what was your role in the production?
So I kind of served as a catch-all. You'll hear me as Mrs. Hudson. You'll hear me as the maid. You might hear me as a few random people on the street. And I also did some of the Foley effects.
And so, Lisa, how about you? What was your role?
My role, I was simply an adventurous young woman named Irene Edler.
Irene has a pretty big role. Kate, tell me a little bit more about how this idea for the play came about.
Absolutely. So with all of the pandemic craziness and all theater or most theater and arts in general turning to virtual things, over at Juno Ghostlight Theater, or JGLT as we like to call ourselves, we had had multiple board meetings brainstorming different virtual things we could maybe do. No one really had the time or energy to put into something too large in terms of a fully recorded virtual play. Some of the challenges we face is that we are an entirely volunteer-run organization. We don't have a staff. Our board runs all of our shows and is in charge of everything like that. So we were kind of kicking around ideas, like what could we do that would be really fun and get some of our artist friends a chance to stretch their creative muscles as well. And so the thought came to me, what if we did a radio play? So that way we could reach a broad audience. It would be really easy for people to tune in. We wouldn't have to worry about in-person rehearsals. We could do it totally virtually and safely. So once I had that idea, I just got really excited and kind of ran with it. And now here we are.
All right. Kelsey, what would you add? Did you also find that there were some challenges that maybe you weren't expecting?
Technical difficulties seem to be the theme of the year. With technology has brought us so much this year, and has given us new ways of doing things, of doing theater and our art. And with that, we did all of our rehearsing on Zoom. We were on Zoom all together when we were recording. And of course, with Zoom, as with any platform, comes technical difficulties. So you do run into someone just freezing in a very funny face. And you have to wait until that person is no longer a funny face, or maybe calling in on their phone. So really, it's just new challenges that we have to learn to overcome.
So Lisa, what was it like to be a part of this from your perspective?
I'm with Kelsey on the technical difficulties, of course, for sure. Also, I'm not one to have a British accent. I've never, I don't usually play roles with a British accent. So that was quite the challenge for me, having to get into that dialect. Just being distant, you know, like, I mean, thank goodness for technology, but I feed off of my peers, of my castmates and crew, and I would rather see them in person. But I mean, I guess, you know, of course, this is what we can do right now. So it's good. It's good.
All three of you are performers, usually live on the stage. And for the last 12 months, it's probably been more like live on screen if you're performing at all. What's that change been like for you? And Salisa, you can begin this time.
Yeah, I mean, like I was saying earlier, I thrive off of, I feed off of my peers and my, and the audience as well, you know, so not being able to do this live is, you know, is a bummer, but it actually was a great experience. I'm sorry, I didn't really speak on that too much earlier. I loved it. I think this is a great show and everyone's going to enjoy it. And I really just love getting together via Zoom, like at least being able to see my friends and peers and castmates and, you know, be able to see them a little bit face to face and have conversations and connect that way. It's what we can do right now.
Yeah. And Salisa, have you been doing other performances or other things on Zoom this year apart from this radio play?
I mean, I have done other things via Zoom, like I taught with the STAR program for Perseverance Theater. So I was via Zoom teaching 13 kids. I mean, my son does school stuff via Zoom, but yeah, I'm not really doing plays Zoom. I've been recording in the studio more so.
Well, that's it's a good time to do that. Kelsey and Kate, what about either of you? What's this change been like to go to basically get off the live stage and onto the screen? Kelsey, you can begin.
Sure. This year, these past 12 months have felt like a huge mourning process. Having lost the ability to be on the stage, which I know for me and for so many of the people in my circles is home. And it's a very happy place. So that has been extremely hard this year. I moved up to Juneau in July, and I feel very lucky to be living with Taylor Vidic, who actually wrote a little jingle for our show, which folks may have heard, will be hearing. So it's nice to have artists in my direct bubble who I get to jam with kind of whenever I want. I have friends across the US and across the globe who I know in the beginning of all of this would get together for just play readings just because we needed it. We would just get together on Zoom. Taylor and I have produced some Zoom shows. I was also teaching dance classes actually on Zoom in the fall. We do what we can, and I'm very lucky to still have a bit of that live aspect living with Taylor, because we do get to feed off of each other and we can do it safely, which feels really good. And little projects will pop up where people will want to stand across from each other in a parking garage and sing sometimes, or dance together from across a dock. We find ways to do things because we're artists and we need to, and I know we all miss it a lot. So when Kate contacted me about this project, I jumped at the chance. I was so excited, and I am thrilled to be a part of it.
Well, let's talk about the radio play. It sounds like it was a good outlet for all involved, especially those who are itching to get back on the stage. Kate, how did you select this particular production?
So when I was first thinking about doing a radio play, I was really picturing an old-timey show. I remember growing up here, they used to play the Writers Radio Theater, and then hearing Prairie Home Companion and their little bits they would do. So I wanted something that had that sort of feel to it of the more old-timey radio show, at least for our first attempt at doing a radio play. My original thought actually was to do Hound of the Baskervilles, a different Sherlock Holmes story. And I spent hours digging through old transcripts from radio shows that had been done in the 40s and 50s and found a couple for Hound of the Baskervilles, but it was a real pain to try and figure out any kind of copyright issues with those and get the rights to actually produce them. So I did more digging and I really knew I wanted Sherlock Holmes or something like that. So I found this production titled A Sherlock Holmes Radio Mystery and read the script, and it seemed like it would fit right in with my idea for what I wanted to produce. It also helped that it was short enough to produce for radio. Actually ended up being a little bit shorter than we were originally going for, but I think it worked out great. And I love the characters, and there's a lot of opportunity for fun sound effects in there as well to really make it an immersive experience.
That's a great segue into my next question. That's some weird feedback there. That I know that Kate and Kelsey, you both did all of the Foley art for the play. Kelsey, can you talk a little bit about what is Foley art? What's your experience with that? And yeah.
So this is my first time ever putting any kind of Foley together. I learned about Foley when I was a kid and was just blown away that people had the job of just making sounds for radio, for cartoons, and in such creative ways. Like, I would love watching videos of people creating Foley. So Kate had also reached out to me about the Foley. So the two of us and Heather Laverne and Allison Holdcamp, our director, worked on the Foley, and Heather then ultimately did all the editing from my knowledge. And wow, it was so much fun to have to text my neighbor to say, hey, there's going to be a lot of knocking on my door. It's just me. I'm just doing a radio play. And to try literally what part of my hand makes a different part of this sound on different parts of this door. I'm a tap dancer, so I love doing that with my feet. So being able to do that with my hands, and then like coins and different footsteps. And I kind of geeked out about the Foley and am still geeking out about the Foley.
Got it. I think I have a clip here that we can take a little listen. I hope I've got this right. Let's give it a try.
Not being able to quell my curiosity, I went boldly up. His manner was not effusive.
Ah, Watson. And here he comes, if I am not mistaken.
Listen. The heaviness of his step upon the stair makes him over 200 pounds.
Let's get out of here, lads.
Hey, so that was just a clip that I kind of pulled out from the play of some of my favorite little sound effects. Can you talk a little bit about the challenge of making those? Like, what was the most fun or most challenging sound effect you had to create for this, Kelsey?
Oh, for me, there's a bag of coins somewhere in this radio play. And lucky for me, my roommate had a giant container of coins that sits around our apartment. So I got to play around with hundreds of coins and putting them in different bags. So that was the most fun for me.
And what about you, Kate? What would you add?
I particularly had a lot of fun with the horse and carriage sound effects. So I was grabbing all sorts of different pieces of jangly chains and different purses I had and all sorts of stuff being, which one sounds the most like a harness? And then I grabbed all sorts of different sizes of Tupperwares and, you know, do they sound best on the floor or on the table? And where can we make horse hooves sound? So that was a really fun one for me. We even tried out, you know, different ways to make carriage wheels. So that was really fun. And then Heather ended up editing together some of those horse hooves and harness type jingly sounds to make one beautiful sound effect that sounds like a horse and carriage. And really it's just me on my hands and knees with some Tupperware on the floor.
That is a funny image. Well, I think it's quite a feat to create those sounds from scratch. So I know it sounds like you guys had a lot of fun with it, but I bet it was a lot of work as well.
Yeah, it was a lot of work, but it was really fun. When we were originally looking at the sound effects, I was not planning on doing Foley originally. And then it just kind of was in the back of my brain that it would be really fun if we could figure it out. So I sat down and typed out every single sound effect we would need in the show. And there were around 40 different sound effects. A few of them are repeated, like some steps if it's the same character walking or something like that. You know, I looked at that list. I was like, we can do these. I bet we can figure out a way to make this work. So I talked to Allison, who also did some Foley, and I talked to Kelsey. I think my words to Kelsey were something along the lines of, you're a tap dancer, foot sound type person. You should be good at this, right? So it was really fun to have everybody come on board and get excited about doing a different way of making sound effects.
Well, I enjoyed those very much. I had a lot of fun putting the clips together, too. So, Lisa, were you familiar with this story before you took part in the play?
This storyline specifically, no. I mean, I'm familiar with Sherlock Holmes, and I definitely loved watching the Robert Downey Jr. and Rachel McAdams one version.
That was a good one, yeah. So Lisa, who are some of the other cast members that played alongside you virtually?
We have Mr. Sherlock Holmes, so Joshua Midget played, and also Heather Laverne played Dr. Watson, or actually, yes, Dr. Watson. That's what we were saying, right, Kate and Kelsey?
Yes, Dr. Watson.
And then, of course, we have the king, Mr. Frank Delaney.
And I had just finished listening to the play before we did this, and I think everybody did a great job. So, Kate, tell me a little bit about the process of recording and performing the parts individually, but bringing it all together in post.
Yeah, absolutely. echoing some of what Kelsey said earlier, there were some technical challenges. We knew that we wanted to do it kind of as live as possible. And so if we were not in a pandemic, we would have reached out to KTOO saying, hey, can we use your studio space maybe, or all gather together somewhere and record it that way. But since we were all recording separately, virtually, we decided to do it over Zoom. And as we all know, audio on Zoom can be a little bit glitchy, especially with people trying to talk over each other, which in theater poses a big problem because you need to be able to pick up your cues and pick up those lines quickly. Not to mention the fact that we had all these sound effects we wanted to edit in. So what we ended up doing was we rehearsed on Zoom, and then for the recording, we actually recorded on Zoom as well, but everyone had a separate recording device. So they would be listening to the Zoom in headphones and then using, I think most people used a phone to record just their audio. So we had a ton of these massive audio files that all went to Heather Laverne, our sound editor, and each one was basically just that one character's part. So they were all recorded live. So the interactions between the characters are live, and that's, you know, basically real time, because that was everybody looking at each other on the Zoom and interacting in that live way. But they were all edited together in post, and that's how we were able to bring it all together as cleanly as possible.
I know that it was a lot of editing, a lot of work. And as a listener, I just really appreciate all the effort that went into it, all the different elements of the play, from the acting to the Foley effects. But the editing, I think, is where the real magic happens. So props to your editor, Heather Laverne.
Oh, absolutely. She's amazing. And she's a good friend of mine. She's actually our board president at JGLT as well. And I absolutely knew I could trust her to do a fantastic job at what was in my brain. I didn't have to tell her, like, hey, this is how I want this to sound, and you should maybe bring the music in here. I knew that I could trust her completely to do a fantastic job of that. So, and she really, yeah, really, it all came together in a really fantastic way, all due to her.
Kate Ross, Elisa Thole, Kelsey Riker from Juno Ghostlight Theater, thank you so much for this conversation and a little peek behind the scenes of the Sherlock Holmes radio play. I found it really enjoyable. Well done.
Thank you for having us, Shelley.